Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are online at 10 a.m. on our YouTube channel. You can learn more about us by visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
How are we doing, Well family, from everyone who usually is here at our Artesia campus and all of our online church community? We are so thankful that you are a part of being part of here this morning. We absolutely love you and are so excited to share the things that God is just really speaking, not only to my heart, but what I believe is to the heart of our church. I really believe that as we went to the series of Egypt, that there are things in our past that we need to leave behind. I generally believe that there are things and attitudes that we have had, mindsets that we may have had, that God is calling us to move from our past into our future. So I am glad that you are a part. I want to say hi to everyone in the comments. Continue to comment. Let us know what you're hearing, what God is speaking to you. Most importantly, though, make sure you're taking notes. Write these things down. Journal them. Put them in your notes section of your iPhone or whatever you have, because taking these notes is so important, because this is how we get to remember what God is speaking. Because if God is speaking, the creator of the universe that talks to you, you think you wouldn't want to write it down, right? So make sure you're journaling, get all that information down, not only what you're hearing through the message, but what God is speaking to you specifically. If this is your first time, I am so glad that you are here. We have no first-time guests here on our Artesia campus. We have our amazing camera crew, worship team, tech crew, who is doing an incredible job. Next week, we're excited to invite our staff and our church council to come be part of services as we begin to continue to identify areas where we can improve in order to make sure it's safe for everyone to come back on campus, because one, we care about you, we love you, and we want to make sure this is still a place where you can invite your friends and your family to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus without getting sick or being uncomfortable because of people aren't social distancing. So we are doing all of our due diligence, cannot wait to spend time with you, but we're excited that we're making this kind of progress. So talking about the series Into Egypt, you kind of got the story is the Hebrew people needed a place to find refuge because of a famine. And so because of the favor that Pharaoh had for Joseph and his family, he said, hey, come on down to Egypt and we will take care of you. We'll give you land. We'll give you food. We'll do all these different things. Then as the Hebrew people began to expand and grow, leadership changed in Egypt, and where the Hebrew people were seen as a blessing to the country, they have now become a burden to the country. And so what the Pharaoh did, he enslaved the Hebrew people, and they began crying out for deliverance, began crying out to be rescued. This God of Abraham, of Jacob, and Isaac, where are you? Because the situation that we're in now cannot continue. So would you rescue us? And so the land of Egypt in our conversation and throughout scripture, we see that God constantly refers to Egypt as a season and a time where of oppression, of slavery, of discomfort, of almost not hearing God. And that he constantly compares it to, not just as Moses rescued the Hebrew people out of Egypt, Jesus rescues us out of our sin, out of our destruction, out of the oppression of the enemy. And so for us, we understand that. Throughout scripture, God reminds his people of their rescue out of Egypt, not to remind them of Egypt, not to remind them of their past, but to remind them of his faithfulness. That's a great thing. God is never going to highlight your past and say, look what you did. God's going to highlight your past and say, look at how I've been faithful to rescue you from it. Because what we learn with Moses, we are not defined by our past. We are not defined by what we were, with the decisions that we used to make, the people we used to hang out with. We are now defined by the living God. He is leading us away from our past mindsets, our past prejudices, our past hurts, our past hangups, our past toxic lifestyles, from the works of the flesh, and he is leading us into the promise, which is the kingdom of God. So the first week we looked at Moses. He was unqualified, he was fearful, he was insecure, but we learned that we must move from our past to our future. We need to remember that God is faithful, that we move with people, we never move alone, and that God is our identity and not our past. Last week we took some time to look at Pharaoh, that he had a hardened heart, that it can only be broken through full surrender. See, that hardening of heart, what it is God saying, hey, you be you. You want to feel that way? I'm not going to interfere because God's not a dictator. I'm not going to interfere. I'm going to let your heart just be where it's at, and that's going to continue to fuel that hardness that's already there. It's going to continue. But we need to surrender if you want to surrender and get out of your hardened heart. We need to listen and stop talking, and we need to live a new way, and Jesus outlines for us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you missed any of those messages, right there in our YouTube channel, you can go back and listen through that. Spend that time in worship. The time in worship that we do in our online community is not just because that's what we do in church. No, the worship in our online community is also in order for you to allow yourself to be prepared. Because I don't know about you, but I come into church sometimes, I'm like, I'm mad at every driver I just passed. I just got an argument with my spouse. My kids are driving me crazy. And you come into church and you're like, okay, now God, okay, now I'm going to listen to you. What worship does, it aligns our hearts and our minds to find peace, to begin to listen for God to soften our hearts. That's where that surrender happens, so that we may hear God speak. Today, we're going to talk about the Hebrew people. This is another set of characters that are in the story of the Exodus out of Egypt. All this, and what's interesting as we read the story is the Hebrew people escaping out of Egypt, we have to understand context. We have to understand, these are just normal people like you and I. Jonathan, they're just like you and me. They only know what they know. And so the only thing this generation of Hebrew people know is slavery. The only exposure to leadership they have received is the one that oppresses them. So here, Moses comes and said, God's here to rescue you. You only know what you know. How do you trust a safe leader when you've only experienced unsafe leadership? And so there's a process that these people that we have to give them grace and understand where their mindsets are as they begin to go through the things that they're going through. See, God is a new leader. They don't know if they can trust. All they know is they're being led into the wilderness. They will struggle to let go of what's familiar. They're going to struggle to let go of what is familiar in order to grasp what is good. They're going to struggle like you and I do. Many of us, see, we don't want God to do a new thing. We just want him to do the same thing but make us more comfortable. Right? That's what we want. God, would you bring me the perfect person? Don't change me. Make sure they fit me. God, bring me finances. I don't know how to budget worth a darn, but bring me finances. And we don't want him to do a new thing. And so when COVID happened and there is a new thing happening, we're still trying to fight for the simple things that make us feel comfortable. Not what's best for us, but that's not what's best for our community. So we fight and we fight and we fight instead of going, surrendering and listening to what God is doing in this time, in this season that we are in. So in this season, God is moving us from unfamiliar territory. And that's why it's so important that we remember his faithfulness, because our temptation is not going to be one of those big temptations like lust and stealing. This temptation is going to be to settle for less than what God has for us. You will not achieve the purpose of God has in your life if you continue to pursue being comfortable. So we often choose the familiar versus the supernatural. So as we move from our past to our future, we must learn to trust God to lead you into new territory, a new way of provision, and new normals. And so we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to be looking through a large portion of scripture to begin to really understand and see what these people are walking through. So if you have your Bibles, let me rephrase that. You have your Bibles if you have a phone. Get on your YouVersion app, open up your paper Bible, whatever you got to do, and let's go to Exodus chapter 13. And I'm going to give you the first point right off the hand, and I'm going to tell you you're not going to like it. Number one, God leads us on detours to protect us. God leads us on detours in order to protect you and I. Let's look at this in Exodus 13, verse 17. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. He didn't take the shortcut. He didn't take the part Google Maps said, this is the fastest way to go. For God said, let the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. He knew the moment opposition came, people would move. People would change their mind, go, oh, I had it better in Egypt. I'd rather be a slave than lost in a wilderness. Even though that wilderness was going to lead them to the promised land. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you. You shall carry up my bones with you from here. This is kind of a side note, kind of something they had to do. They take Joseph, who had found favor with Pharaoh, out with them. And they moved on from Succoth and encamped in Etham, on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way. And by night, in a pillar of fire gave them light. They might travel by day and night. The pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart before the people. There are times that you and I cannot handle the blessing we're asking God to give us. I firmly believe, not only because I've experienced it, but because I've seen it over and over again, where the burden of blessing becomes too much, where your character hasn't reached the level that the blessing requires. You don't have the system requirements yet, okay? You need to be upgraded. You need to be restored. You need to go to the gym and lift some weights before God is going to give you the things that he wants to give you. In order to do that, he's going to detour you, and you're going to get frustrated. See, we ask for abundance without learning how to budget. We ask for a future spouse, but we have not yet discovered ourselves first. New seasons, new adventures, new commitments will always be met with opposition. And so if God says, I want you to do this thing, and the moment you face opposition, like, nope, I don't want to do that anymore. See you later. Then you just missed out on God's purpose. So what he wants to do is he wants to create character and bravery and integrity and courage in you. So when you look at that opposition, you're like, what? Bring it, instead of running away in fear. See, God creates detours in order to protect his people. And you in this moment, whether you're sitting at home or sitting in here in the sanctuary, you may be frustrated with where you're at in life. You may feel like you got the short end of the stick. You may feel like you're way over here, but you feel like you're supposed to be over there. And you're frustrated, you're angry, you're upset. God, why aren't you doing this? Why haven't you brought me this spouse? Why haven't you brought me these kids? Why haven't you given me that promotion? Why did I just get laid off? Why am I on furlough? Why is this happening? Why am I stuck at home? Why am I working 40, 50, 60, 80 hours at the hospital? Why am I doing these things? This feels like a detour, God. Is it possible? Are you willing to entertain the idea that God has detoured you in order to build you up to inherit a bigger blessing? Is it possible for you to look at it not as a curse, but as an opportunity to receive blessing? God has so much in store for the Hebrew people. He's willing to take them the long way. And do you know that God is willing to take the long haul way for you? He's willing to not shortcut you. He's willing to not do a halfway job with you. So don't get distracted. Don't be discouraged. There's a purpose in your journey. There's a purpose in your waiting. There's a purpose in the unknown. And the great thing about our God is he doesn't waste a thing. This is why. Number two, God will lead us to life transformation. God is not interested in merely changing your situation, because situations change all the time. You know what he's really interested in? You know what he's interested in, Jacob? He's interested in changing you. He's interested in forming you because he knows the man, the husband, the father, the manager, the supervisor, that he wants creating you, because when he creates and does something new in you, everyone in your circles of influence receives the blessing that you've received. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. Now, it's kind of a longer scripture, but I encourage you to just follow along. Allow God, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you as we read this. You might grab a whole thing that I'm not going to mention. So let's do this. When Pharaoh draw near, so Pharaoh's like, what have I just done? I got rid of my workforce. So they're fleeing Egypt, and now Pharaoh's ringing up his army saying, let's go get them. The people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they feared greatly. The people of Israel cried out to the Lord, right? Like, you, God, you provided us a rescue, and now we're going to get murdered. Have you ever felt that way? You follow God? Like, everything begins to fall apart when you start following God. You're like, wait a minute, what happened? And God's like, I have you exactly where I want you. It is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. They're like, you're just, you know, doing Rose Hills jobs right now. You're doing, you know, the forest lawn. What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not this way you said to us in Egypt, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. How many of you have said it would have been better for me at the other job because at least I had a job? I don't care that I was miserable. How many of you are thinking right now, maybe I should go back to that toxic relationship even though you were being abused? How many of us were saying that it's okay that I treat people this way because I treat people poorly and I just have this attitude and I run around with my wife and I do all these different things, but at least things were peaceful at home. It was better not to tell the truth. And you start justifying and looking back the way things used to be, even though it was dysfunctional and destructive, but you like it because it's familiar, because you're afraid of the unknown. Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm. See the salvation of the Lord, for which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you will have only to be silent. You won't even have to fight. God will do the fighting. I know there are temptations that are coming back up to surface in some of your lives. And it is making all these promises. It's going to make life better. It's going to make life easier. It's just going to be better this way. Capital One is going, use me, use me. Your ex is texting you at 2 a.m. and you're going, maybe it's not that bad. Fear not, stand firm, because God's about to do something. And if we're willing to wait, we're going to be able to experience what God is doing. But so many of us, we're just not willing to wait. Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from being them that stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other one all night. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove back the sea by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided, and the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on the right and left. The Egyptians pursued, went after them in the midst of the sea. All Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen in the morning watched the Lord, the pillar of fire and cloud, looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptians into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels, and they drove heavily. The Egyptians said, let us flee before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. How many of you are one day, one moment, one decision away from seeing the Red Sea part in front of you? The thing that was impossible, that could never be done, God could never do this, and he is ready to just rip it open and say, watch me work, because it is God who fights, not man. But I love, because God gets us as humans, right? Because he created us, and he's like this big, powerful God, but he's also like super like, hey, I know you. Like, I know you. I know what we're walking through here. God addresses each of our self-protection responses to fear. This is, majority of the time, if we're afraid of something, we're going to fight or we're going to flee, right? That fight or flight kind of experience that we, if I see a spider, I'm all in fight mode. Like, I am not afraid of spiders because this is what I realize. Either I'm going to kill it, it's gone, or if it does bite me, I have a 50% chance of becoming Spider-Man, okay? And I've seen the Sam Raimi Spider-Man. Tobey Maguire got a six-pack, so I am all for that. So you, spider, done, killing it, gone. But when I see blood, I'm gone. I cannot handle blood. I can't. I can't do it. I don't know. It did not start until I had kids. Literally, and my son gets bloody noses on an occasion. And we were camping once, and no joke, he got a bloody nose at like 2 a.m. I saw the blood, and he's 4, 5 at the time, and all my masculinity, I'm 90% sure I fainted. Right there in the tent, boom. And so like, spider done, let's go, let's take care of this. I have my little girl and I'll be her daddy, and I'm like, oh. But someone come in with a bleeding nose, like, I'm gone. Aaron, you take care of it. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't know what it is. I don't want anything to do with it. But I love that God addresses each of our flight, because to those who want to fight, God says, I will fight for you. Hear that. For those in this room who are like, I'm a fighter, how many of you are a fighter? For the majority, Jonathan, you're a fighter. Yeah, Chris, fighter. Like, yeah, you guys are fighter. How many of you guys are flight? Like, man, I'd just rather not deal with this drama. Right? Yeah, that's okay. So that's why God says, to those of you who want to fight, Jonathan, God says, I'm going to fight for you. To those who want to take flight, God says, stand firm. He's addressing every single one. He goes, I'm going to be for those who are fearful and who want to fight and take up arms, and to those who want to run away, God will fight for you. He tells us to stand firm because God is telling you right now that he and he alone is your protector. That life transformation can make that connection that God is the one who protects you, not you. But we use excuses like this, but I was raised that way. I was raised to just run away from my problems. My dad left, I'm going to leave. But I was raised to fight. Someone dishonor me, I'm going to take them in the back. And I'm going to make sure that they feel it. Or this one my favorite. But it's just my personality. No one has a personality that's a jerk. That's a behavior, not a personality. Never use your personality as an excuse for your poor behavior. Okay? Right? So as we understand, because God transforms our mind and our heart, we cannot say, this is just the way I've always been. This is just who I am. No, God says who you are. You are a son and a daughter who love God and love people. If you have a behavior or a personality that does not love people, guess what? We have to be willing to surrender that to God to say, Lord, would you change that? Would you transform that? Would you heal my past? Would you heal my lineage? Will you heal this generational curse in my family? See, your upbringing can't be an excuse to behave poorly either. See, God made you and is taking you from glory to glory. And if you're going to fight it or run from it, you will never experience your Red Sea moment. You will never experience and see the power of God. You know what this generation, that all they knew was slavery, you know what they told every generation after that? We serve the God who parted the Red Sea. We serve the God that took out the greatest army in the world in that time. That's the God I serve. And so when you begin to experience his faithfulness, you brag about who God is, not what church you go to. You start bragging about his faithfulness in your life, not just that you are a Christian and you're religious. You start bragging about a God that you've personally experienced. Some of us need to all allow God to lead you into this life transformation. You need him to touch your personality. You need him to touch your past. You need him to heal and touch your heart and heart right now in this moment. There are things that have happened in your past. There are family traits that get passed on from generation to generation, and I believe that God is asking you to repent. It may not even be your fault, but you have a decision to make. because God wants to bring life transformation to you. Number three, write this down. God leads us through our pursuit of wisdom. God leads us through our pursuit of wisdom. Exodus 15, verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea. They went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They'd been on this journey for 3 days. When they came to Meriah, they could not drink the water, Marah, because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" He cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log and threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule that he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes, give ear to the commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your God, your healer." So what's happening here is now that you are free, you get to make a decision. You've been set free. You've seen that God can do the most powerful things and wipe out armies, and now you just saw that he can make bitter water sweet. It's literally a Brita filter that happened. That's a very powerful log. Find it on Amazon, I'm sure. And purifies the water right there. So not only is God their protector, but he's their healer. He says, if you would trust me, if you listen to my statutes, if you would follow me, if you would diligently listen to the voice of God, because we all know that God's voice is not silent. We're just really good with selective hearing. We do what is right. We make that one right decision. We choose to make another right decision. And we make his values our values. When we begin to practice these things, our heart remains soft. And when our heart remains soft, we're able to listen to wisdom. Wisdom is when our emotional feelings and our intellectual thoughts come into alignment with each other. It says, yes, this is the right path. There are things that we need to be healed in order to live free. And some of the two things that you need more than anything else, and this all stems from wisdom, is beginning of wisdom is a fear of the Lord, is that you first need a relationship with God. And you need to begin to have the right information. Because a lot of us Christians have the wrong information. You know God, you can quote the Bible, you can use the Bible to justify your behavior, you can go on Facebook comments all day long and say Bible this, Bible this, Bible that, Bible this. But unless you love God and love people, you've never let God transform your heart. It is nowhere in our, we never use truth as a weapon. Truth pierces its own. It's when we choose to love God and love people when truth begins to be allowed to be heard. But that only happens through wisdom. And we have to pursue it. This is where there's a point where, as I raise my kids, I cannot tell them to look both ways when crossing the street their entire life. I can't be like, hey, you know, texting Jude when he's 40 years old and going, hey, did you look both ways crossing the street? And like, no, Dad. Hopefully he says yes, but you know. It's more like, leave me alone. But if you continue to parent and to parent and to parent and to parent, you never have a relationship. And so it's a time that you have to trust that what is being taught is being caught, and then you have to watch it happen. And they get to learn from their own mistakes. And this is where God is moving us to not just be free, but to live in freedom. We have to choose freedom. We have to choose to not to choose the familiar. We have to choose him to go forward. And when we do that, he becomes familiar instead of the circumstances we begin to pursue. I want to invite Jessica up as we conclude this morning. God wants to move you from your past to your future. He doesn't want you to forget your past. He doesn't want you to pretend it never happened. But he's ready to move you from it because your past should inform you and not define you. So as we move forward, we learn from Moses that God defines you and not your past. We learn from Moses to not live with a hardened heart. We learn from the Hebrew people to let go of the familiar and walk with God into your glorious future. To walk with him. And it all starts with saying yes to Jesus. Jesus is a visible representation of who God is. And that's what it begins. When we say salvation belongs to the Lord, it's because just as much as Moses was sent by God into Egypt to rescue his oppressed people, God sends Jesus into the oppression of sin in our world and came to rescue you and I. He came into our Egypt. He came into our darkness. He came into our sin. He came into our oppression in order to set you and I free. Jesus is our rescuer, our Messiah, and he is now leading us into the wilderness called life. We have not yet experienced the promised land, but we're getting little bits and pieces of it. And when we say yes to Jesus, what you're saying yes to is that he is your Savior, he is your Lord, he is your leader, he is your teacher, and that you're going to follow him, even when it's a detour, even though you want to go that direction, Jesus saying go that direction, you're going in that direction. So I want to invite you, if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never taken that moment to discover Jesus for the first time, I want to invite you to do that today. Now, I'm talking to everyone online at home. If someone shared this link, you randomly clicked on it, you have a friend or family member that shared it with you, I believe that a share of a simple URL link can change a person's life. And that may be you right now. Maybe you're watching this live, or maybe you're watching this another time. I'm going to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus for the very first time. So if you're at home right now, I want you to put your hand on your heart. And if you know Jesus, I want you to just kind of focus and begin praying for people all around this country who don't know Jesus, who are giving their life to him now. And I want you to pray this with me. It says, Jesus, I want to discover your love, your grace, and you for the first time today. I am far from you, want to be brought near. Thank you for dying for my sins so that I could have an abundant life. Lead me all the days of my life and teach me to display your love to those around me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who gave their life to Jesus today. If that was you today, you're going to see a link in the comments. You can click on that, fill out that form. That way we can get you the information that you need so that we can begin this discipleship process with you. Now we can begin to walk with you in the wilderness. So I invite you to do that. Now, those of you who know Jesus today, I'm not going to ask you to do anything more than what I've already talked about. But what I do is I want to pray a blessing over you. God instructed Moses to speak this over his brother Aaron and the people of Israel. And now that we have been adopted into the family of God through Jesus, I want to speak this blessing over you, your home, your life, your future. I had one of our dads text me this morning, wants to celebrate his 14-year-old son's birthday today. Louis, happy birthday. We're so thankful for you. And just as I was speaking and sharing this, I just felt like this was a prayer and a blessing. It's for every single person. It's every single person in this room, every single person watching online. But for the TELUS family, I just feel like you need to print this. You need to put this on your wall. There's something that God wants to do. And I just feel like this blessing, even if we do this just for you, this is a blessing for your home. This is a blessing for every single one of you. It comes from Numbers chapter 6. And I don't want you just to hear it. I want you to receive it. There's a difference. You can hear a song, go, okay, that's a good song. But then you can like put your headphones on and focus and listen and really understand what it's saying. That's what I want you to do with this verse. It's not going to be on the screen. It's not going to be anywhere. I just want you to hear it. You can write down Numbers 6, 24 through 26. Numbers 6, verse 24 through 26. I want you to receive this in your mind and in your heart. It says, the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And if you're at home, if you're with your family, go ahead and grab their hands. If you're even just by yourself watching this, I want you to just raise your hands to Jesus. We're part of an entire family. And no social distancing can keep us away from each other because we're not united in body, we're united in spirit. We're one spirit. God, we thank you for the privilege it is to follow you. Lord, thank you for rescuing us out of our Egypt, out of our addictions, out of our dysfunction, out of our really just bad situations or bad mindsets and destructive lifestyles. God, we thank you that we get to walk in the wilderness with you, that we're not alone. Lord, we thank you that you set that example for us. God, we thank you that every person listening, every person watching, every person in this room has been promised a glorious future, not just here on earth to have an abundant life, but in eternity in heaven with you. God, thank you for being faithful in every season. We thank you for the people in our home. We thank you for the people in our neighborhood. We thank you for our community. We thank you for you. So Lord, would you bless us? Would you give us favor? Would you help us to follow you as you lead us in wisdom? Would you open your word to us today? In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is always a privilege and an honor to be with you on these Sunday mornings or whenever you're watching right now. I want to encourage you, if you have not already, make sure that you are part of a Connect group. Make sure that you are part of Kids Life videos that happen directly after this, that you're getting your kiddos around. This is an incredible opportunity this season to disciple your kids and make sure that you get to utilize the resources that our incredible team have provided for you. Thinking about you all, praying for you. Cannot wait to regather again. But until then, make sure that you share, you like, you subscribe. This is an important way. And I just want to highlight something real quick. I am not joking when I say you sharing a URL, this page to text through text or on your social media platforms to a friend or family members, that you have the opportunity to change someone's life by simply copying and pasting. You can bring abundant life to people in that way. So love you all. Stick around for Kids Life. Cannot wait to spend time with you, and we'll see you real soon.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. If you would like more information and to stay connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. And remember, you are loved.